Good afternoon. We are drawing closer to the start of that blizzard warning. It kicks in 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, goes until 6 o'clock Friday morning. National Weather Service expecting a cold front to move through the area tomorrow morning and afternoon, bringing northwest winds. Scattered precipitation going to start out as rain or drizzle tonight into tomorrow morning. And then as the front quickly crosses the area from west to east, any slushy or wet roads could freeze quickly and become icy. Temperatures will fall. We'll have strong northwest winds gusting above 45 miles per hour, creating widespread blowing snow and potential blizzard conditions at times, according to the Weather Service. That'll especially be true in rural areas of central Iowa. Snowfall only expected to be 2 to 4 inches, but with the heavy winds, that could cause blowing and drifting snow. Plus, we're going to have wind chills fall below zero tomorrow night into the early morning hours of Friday. So, state climatologist Justin Glisson says cold temperatures is something we might have to get used to this month.
We are seeing pretty high probabilities of colder than average temperatures. We've seen a wobble in that polar vortex up over the Arctic that dams in all that cold air. So we're going to start seeing some colder air outbreaks across the state beginning towards the end of the week.
Glisson also says outlooks are pointing to February possibly being a little more snowier than normal as well. A diesel fuel generator has been installed on the southwest corner of the Jasper County Courthouse to provide power in case of emergencies. In October, the county supervisors unanimously approved the generator purchase from Kohler Company in Kohler, Wisconsin for just over $59,600. County Maintenance Director Adam Sparks warned the supervisors a days-long power outage in the winter, like the one with the August 10th derecho, would be detrimental to the courthouse building.
If that does happen in the wintertime, and we do truly go 4 days, we will be in trouble. The building can hold its heat for a couple days, but 4 days is not going to happen.
County Supervisor Brandon Tulsma notes the need for the generator was evident after the derecho because a temporary rented generator couldn't be found.
We started this process actually even before the derecho hit, looking at what happened in Palo with the tornado, Marshalltown with the tornado. It was like, well, okay, you know, this might want to be something that we want to look into. So the first way we were going to go was we were just going to risk it and be like, oh, there's never going to be that widespread of an event where we can't find a generator or rent. So we paid to have a hookup put into the courthouse, but not for an actual generator. Long and lo and behold, the derecho happened and generators became pretty hot commodities, especially that size of generator. And look at Marshalltown, you know, they've had two of these events in 3 years. It happens.
In addition to the cost of the generator, the county had to pay another $14,100 for its installation. Jasper County Health Department still saying that no COVID-19 vaccine appointments are being taken in the county at this time. Once they get their next allocation of the vaccine, they will start taking appointments again. Their goal, they need to vaccinate as many Jasper County residents 65 and older as they can as soon as possible. Now, scammers are targeting people trying to get COVID vaccinations. Larry Jones is a public health expert. He says criminals pretend to be from local health departments or another organization and attempt to try and get your personal information.
Health departments, et cetera, are not going to be asking people for their credit card numbers or personal information of that nature. They're going to be wanting to know your name, probably a telephone or an email to be able to get back with you, but they're not going to be asking you for financial information.
According to Jones, some scammers have even built sophisticated websites with authentic-looking vaccine sign-up forms.
They look very legitimate, like they're a local health department, and they're not. And when you go onto their site, they start asking for their credit card and their Medicare or Medicaid numbers and things of that nature.
He suggests if you get a call, email, or letter from local or county or even state health department that looks to be suspicious, call that agency directly before you respond. A 36-year-old Newton man has been given a suspended 2-year prison term and 2 years of probation for pleading guilty to third offense marijuana possession. District Associate Judge Stephen Huerta has also fined Joshua Justin White $625. White was caught with a small amount of marijuana when he was taken into custody on outstanding warrants from multiple counties the evening of February 15th last year. Newton police say he was a passenger in a car that was stopped on Northeast Beltline Road. Court documents show White's prior marijuana convictions were in Sioux County in May 2008 and Jasper County in December 2002. 55-year-old Ames man with a history of meth possession has been given a suspended 5-year prison term, 3 years of probation, and a $750 fine for a March 8th offense in Jasper County. Around 4:45 that morning, Jeffrey Pep was a passenger in a vehicle that was pulled over for a traffic stop on Highway F-48 West, west of Newton. Arrest reports that he possessed a container that had a small amount of meth inside and a meth pipe with residue. Pep pled guilty to third offense, possession of meth. Ames man's prior meth convictions were in Marshall County in March 1998, November 2000, April 2008, and May 2011. A man wanted for questioning in the shooting death of a woman last April on the west side of Des Moines is now in police custody. 27-year-old Antonio Marquez Hodges arrested without incident at a Des Moines home Monday. Police have been looking for him on a material witness warrant since last April, days after the shooting death of 33-year-old Catherine Bobbitt. Bobbitt found with a gunshot wound at the intersection of 33rd Street and Kingman Boulevard. That was the afternoon of April 3rd. She later died at a nearby hospital. 5 days after her death, Des Moines Police Department issued a material witness warrant seeking Hodges. Police say the U.S. Marshals Service took over the search after receiving information that he had left the state. Search circled back to Des Moines earlier this week. Hodges being held on the material witness warrant related to Bobbitt's homicide, as well as outstanding warrants on other charges. In funeral announcements, a visitation for David Trostel of Newton will be held from 5 to 7 this evening, and visitation at Wallace Family Funeral Home and Crematory. David Trostel passed away at the age of 65. Memorials in his name may be left at the funeral home tonight. Make checks payable to Brenda Trostel. Public funeral service for Angie Klein of Newton, former Grinnell resident who passed away at her home in Newton at the age of 49, will be held 11 a.m. tomorrow at Smith Funeral Home in Grinnell. Live streaming of the service starts at 10:45 tomorrow morning on the Smith Funeral Home Facebook page. Face masks will be required for those attending tomorrow's funeral service and those also attending the visitation today. Public visitation begins at 1 this afternoon at Smith Funeral Home. Family receiving friends from 4 to 7 this evening. Social distancing will also be enforced. Memorials may be designated the Angela Klein Memorial Fund. Mail is in care of Smith Funeral Home, P.O. Box 368, Grinnell, Iowa, 50112. Memories and condolences may be shared with the family online at www.smithfh.com. And due to the weather, the funeral service for Carol L. Brain of Newton has been moved to Friday. It was to take place at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Instead, it will be 11 a.m. Friday. A celebration of Carol's life will be held at a later date. And in lieu of flowers, memorials in honor of Carol Brain Newton, passed away at the age of 88, to the Christian Conference Center. Those memorials may be left at Wallace Family Funeral Home. That is your noontime check. Area news and funeral announcements here on KCOV. I'm Randy Van. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.